We are paying particular attention to the Psalms this season in our congregation. And you probably know that one of the ways these ancient songs are often talked about is in terms of their type. There are psalms of thanksgiving, and psalms of lament, and psalms of praise. There are royal psalms and imprecatory psalms, the ones full of nasty curses that we practically never read in worship and might forget are actually there in the Bible. Some people's lists of the types are longer and some are shorter, but biblical scholars generally agree you can sort the Psalms pretty well in this way. And that is useful to a point. If you are looking for words to express grief and loss, you can search for a lament psalm and basically know what you're going to get. Like, you know what you're going to get if you pick up a blues album or a gospel one. When you read that psalm, you can be alert to some of the common patterns that tend to show up in that type. And that's all well and good, but the categories aren't everything, because every psalm, like every prayer and every person who prays, is unique. And sometimes a psalm doesn't really seem to fit very neatly into any one box, like the one that we have in front of us tonight. Psalm 19 has a little bit of praise. It honors God for the daily journey of the sun. It has a little bit of thanksgiving. It expresses gratitude for the gift of God's word. It has a little bit of confession. It calls on God to wipe away the baggage of sin. It has a little bit of everything, really. So what do we call this prayer that C.S. Lewis famously deemed the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world? Well, we can just let it be the beautiful prayer that it is. But if I had to give it a type today, I think I would call it a psalm of wonder. I've never actually heard anybody suggest that category before, but I like the sound of it. I will confess to you that when I started looking at Psalm 19 this week, my first reaction was, well, there's a lot of beautiful stuff here, but I have no idea what these parts have in common. It falls pretty neatly into three sections, which is how we've divided it up in our service tonight. The first section praises God for the creation. The second meditates on the gift of the law. And the third asks for forgiveness. Each section has rich and memorable lines, and each could stand on its own. So what are they doing together? Thankfully, there are readers out there with a keener eye than me who have long spotted that the whole of this psalm is greater than the sum of its parts. When you pray it all together, it is a psalm taking joy in God speaking and inviting us to join in the wonder. The heavens are telling the glory of God, it begins, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. I picture the writer of this psalm standing under a wide open expanse, overcome with the beauty of creation. Think of a place where you have felt like that. On a mountaintop in the Alps, or somewhere by the shore of Lake Geneva, or maybe at a place near where you grew up. Where you felt not only, wow, this is all really lovely, but something more than that. Wow, this all has something to say. There's a message here, a statement, a word about what is important in life, what's essential, what's good and beautiful and true. The psalm writer feels that way. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another, she says. The creation has something to say, a story to recount, praise to give its creator. The rocks and the trees aren't speaking Hebrew or Mandarin or French. There are no words booming out through the sky, and yet the creation is speaking in its own way. It is singing through all the earth to the end of the world. You know that feeling, right? This psalm says that that wonder, that sense of God speaking to us through the goodness and beauty of the world around, is true and is real and is part of our faith. Then comes this abrupt shift in the psalm, moving suddenly from the sun to the law. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. This might feel a little bit jarring at first, but what's constant from the first section to the second is a sense of wonder in how God speaks to us. The God who is honored in the wordless praise of creation offers words to us in the scriptures. And not just any words, but words that immeasurably enrich us. Words that rejoice the heart and enlighten the eyes, more precious than gold, sweeter than honey. This speaking, says the psalm, is cause for awe and wonder. I'm not sure we always think of the scriptures that way, especially not something like the Ten Commandments. I mean, these are laws, prohibitions, thou shalt nots. They're just kind of the basic bedrock things we are not supposed to do, right? What is so precious and sweet and soul-reviving about that? Our tradition has always held that God's word is more than that, and that the law itself is more than that. It's not merely rules. It's a picture of life that is full and free and grounded in grace. The laws are, in the words of Terence Fretheim, a gracious gift of God for the sake of the life, health, and well-being of individuals and community. God gives guidelines about putting nothing before God in our lives, treating our neighbors with dignity, being grateful for what we have, to show us what a truly good life looks like for us and for those around us. It's not fundamentally a burden or a nuisance. God's word is a gift, all of it. Even something as strange and unsettling as the word of the cross. It may sound like foolishness, Paul says. It may sound like nonsense. But this word is the wisdom and power of God, a gift to revive the soul. So the prayer shifts one last time, this time to the speaker's own life. Clear me from my secret faults. Guard and keep me, she prays, concluding with that well-known final verse that you've probably heard lots of times. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It happens so quickly that it's easy to miss, but do you see where the psalm has landed? You speak in all these wonderful ways, God. I will do my best to listen. I will do my best to obey. I will do my best to respond. And I pray that my words will be acceptable to you, that your word will find a home in me as well. The prayer that began with the heavens speaking ends with you speaking. It's kind of breathtaking, isn't it? It's a prayer glorying in the grace of God, who communicates with us, who warns us, and teaches us, and enlivens us, and inspires us, and who might even speak through us as well. It is a psalm of wonder, through and through. I don't know how this all strikes you this evening, but I could imagine wonder sounding like a rather flimsy thing to talk about today. With all that is happening in our world, with all that feels fragile and painful and hard, is wonder really what we need? Where does wonder get us? I'm not sure how to answer that question, except with another poem. This one is a lot more recent than Psalm 19, but it does have a similar theme. It's by Mary Oliver, and it's called simply The Sun. Some of you might have heard me read this before, but I think it's worth hearing again. The Sun. Have you ever seen anything in your life more wonderful than the way the sun every evening, relaxed and easy, floats toward the horizon and into the clouds or the hills or the rumpled sea and is gone? And how it slides again out of the blackness every morning on the other side of the world, like a red flower streaming upward on its heavenly oils, say on a morning in early summer, at its perfect imperial distance. And have you ever felt for anything such wild love? Do you think there is anywhere in any language a word billowing enough for the pleasure that fills you as the sun reaches out, as it warms you, as you stand there empty-handed? Or have you too turned from this world? Or have you too gone crazy for power, for things? Where does wonder get us? Well, the poem suggests it turns us again to this world filled with wonders. A sun that warms us, and green buds that start appearing again on empty branches in the spring, and friends who sometimes call at just the right moment, and words of grace that soften hardened hearts, and a community who keeps on singing and hoping and acting for justice. Wonder turns us from our worry and our self-centeredness, from obsession with power and things, toward the world singing its maker's praise. And if prayer isn't about that, then I don't know what it is. The invitation is there, friends, to linger in wonder at all that God has done, speaking in the creation, speaking in the scriptures, speaking even in us. The one who calls forth the sun each morning is our rock and our redeemer. What could be more wonderful than that? Thanks be to God. Amen.